thanks so much for joining us, Jonathan.
Good to be here.
Now, next month on the 25th, Star Wars will turn 42 years old. You know, we all grew up watching them as kids, and now we're taking our kids to watch them again. Now, what makes Star Wars so timeless over three trilogies and three generations that seems to bring all three together?
I think a lot of it's about timing, right? So I was 7 years old when I went to see the first Star Wars. Episode 4, as we then found out that it was, and I think it was just that time of, you know, of our kind of culture where it was the perfect time to have that film. It's everyone was they'd been missing space stuff, you know, the moon landings had been, you know, they'd stopped 3 or 4 years before that. Sci-fi was starting to kind of be increasingly excited to people. And then this film came along, which a lot of people don't realise was, you know, Star Wars, which wasn't actually popular when it came out. So when it came out, it was only released in a few cinemas in the US because it was considered by the critics who first reviewed it as not very good. And then more and more people talked about it, and it kind of was one of those examples of things that went viral. So people told their friends, and they told their friends, and these empty cinemas started filling up, and then other cinemas started putting it on, and it kind of just spread through word of mouth and became a sort of phenomenon. But it wasn't this massive blockbuster release where on the first day everyone went to see it. It just wasn't like that at all. So it was kind of an example of a viral thing that everybody loved.
Right. Well, how do you think Star Wars kind of revolutionized both science fiction and filmmaking itself?
I mean, filmmaking, it was kind of, you know, people had tried a few things. I mean, obviously there was 2001, A Space Odyssey, which came a long time before Star Wars.
Oh, of course.
And did a lot of amazing things. There were a lot of amazing effects. But a lot of people criticized that movie in the sense that it was very so-called highbrow and not for the masses, because it was a bit slow, to be honest. I mean, I love it. I saw it just the other week, actually. But it was, you know, it was a very slow movie. And I think what the way Star Wars kind of changed things was the pace, right? So as everyone is aware, if you go back and watch old classic movies that everyone loves and, you know, people rave about and your parents rave about and grandparents, most of them turn out to be slow. And Star Wars kind of, the pace is what they lifted. They packed a heck of a lot into, you know, into 2 hours. So many of the things had been shown before. You know, the special effects were amazing, but they were also amazing in a 2001 Space Odyssey. The music was fantastic, but again, 2001, the music was great too. I think it was the storytelling and the amazing pacing that just got everybody excited.
Yeah, and speaking of music from Star Wars, of course, you know, from the opening crawl to an Imperial March to the Cantina band's music to the recurring motif of the Force, like Star Wars probably wouldn't have much of its gravity without its score. So do you think we'll speak of John Williams' Star Wars music in 100 years in the same way we speak of Mozart and Beethoven today?
Yeah, definitely. I absolutely think so, yeah. It's, I mean, you know, obviously he's a complete classic composer. His works are instantly recognisable, and it's not just Star Wars. Of course, he's done a lot of things. I mean, I know I'm a Star Wars nerd, but I listen to Star Wars soundtracks, you know, probably at least once a week. I'll listen to one soundtrack, and, you know, if I'm on a ferry, I'll be listening to it. If I'm walking around the streets, I'll be listening. I mean, it's amazingly catchy classical music. You know, and you feel yourself feeling the movies when you hear it.
Of course, it's just so incredibly, like, iconic. Yeah. Well, so Star Wars is, of course, set in a galaxy far, far away with so many different landscapes. Desert, snow, jungles, underwater, skylines, volcanoes, swamps, clouds, of course, space, you name it. Like, there's so many. Now, do you think Star Wars has had an influence on landscape concept design in films?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. But also because Star Wars covered so many different landscapes, I think it's almost a given now. If you've got, you know, a similar genre movie, It actually seems boring if it's all done in the same type of landscape. It just somehow isn't as exciting. Whereas this constantly either darting between different landscapes and planets or having parallel stories, as is often the case in Star Wars movies, but in completely different landscapes, seems to be what people want. So we see in all sorts of movies other landscapes, being brought up. Even things like the lava world in Revenge of the Sith. Darth Vader gets created. I mean, that is, that's an amazing landscape, totally iconic.
Yeah, of course. Now, how about Star Wars' impact on cinematic audio production as well? Because, a really iconic sound is, of course, like the sound of a lightsaber to the breath of Darth Vader and, droid noises. Do you think Star Wars has had an impact in terms of, how to make iconic cinematic audio?
Yeah, I think so. I think that is probably the big change, actually. So I previously talked about, some of the model special effects have been done before in 2001. Music had been done in 2001 and other things. But the sounds in Star Wars were very different. And if you look at all those old making of Star Wars kind of documentaries and read the old magazines that talked about it, they were pretty innovative of the time. Those sound engineers would literally go along and just whack stuff and record things and then go back. And it was another because of the timing as well. There was technology had just come online that you could take a sound and easily change it in a studio, and you could fiddle with things more easily. So there was probably a bit of luck in the timing there. It just became possible to take a sound that you go and record, wherever, and mess with it and get a really fantastic new noise. So absolutely, I think that was probably one of its biggest contributions.
Yeah, definitely. Now, Star Wars, after all this chatting, you could definitely say that Star Wars certainly has inspired a lot of creativity in filmmaking, but I guess also in real life, now from cosplay to fan fiction, and even real life robotics technology, which is your area of expertise.
That is right.
Could you give me some examples of these?
Yeah, I mean, so I said I was 7 when I went to see Star Wars. I remember then a few weeks later, we went to the toy shop, me and my mother, and bought a little R2-D2 figure for not very much money. And I've actually got it on my desk here, right?
So oh, wow.
I've still got that R2-D2 figure. And, I got into robotics, right? That's what happened. So I think Star Wars has obviously inspired a whole lot of people. I mean, it's no coincidence that, SpaceX, the big spaceship company of the moment, their rockets are called the Falcon rockets, after the Millennium Falcon, right?
Yeah.
There's no coincidence, right? That's Elon Musk has stated that's why, right? So modern spaceships, but particularly robotics, I think Star Wars kind of showed what might be possible in robotics. I mean, and of course, it was just people in suits, right? But it showed that, if you have an intelligent device like a robot, you can do amazing things. And it has inspired a whole generation of robotics people. A lot of the people I work with of similar age to me and younger who are in robotics, they're all Star Wars nuts, right? They all have posters of Star Wars. Some of them actually were inspired by Terminator, so it's not quite true. A lot of people were inspired by Star Wars. Yeah, Star Wars or Terminator kind of influenced a whole generation of robotics people. And more so than robotics, actually, bionics. So because Star Wars also showed us, Darth Vader himself as a robot person because he had all his limbs cut off, so he's got bionic arms. But then when Luke gets his arm cut off and there's that iconic scene of him kind of flexing his fingers and of his new robotic hand and you see all the little bits working inside. I mean, that stuff's becoming a reality now, right? It's actually starting to happen. And I'm sure all this stuff would happen anyway, but I think Star Wars has sped up the development of these things because it's got people more inspired and into the area. So it's kind of an accelerator of these technologies.
Yeah, because you're seeing like all these, even like kind of new Fandango toys now, like Sphero have released a BB-8 little robot that you can control with your phone. And I think they've done the same for R2-D2 as well.
Yes, I've got both of those in one.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's really, really cool. Now, do you think we'll see another kind of pop culture phenomena like Star Wars again in our lifetime?
I don't know. I don't think so. But I would say that being a Star Wars nerd.
No.
It's just, yeah. I mean, for some people, I mean, Harry Potter was almost that, right? I know a whole lot of young people. I mean, I'm a university professor, right? So I teach a whole lot of people that are 18, 19, 20. They're all heavily into Harry Potter. They play Quidditch at the weekend. You know, so they actually have been influenced. They have Harry Potter tattoos.
Yeah.
So, you know, they have been influenced by something else. Maybe it's not quite as big as Star Wars, but it certainly is a big thing.
Yeah, I think the big difference there would probably be in terms of influencing the real world, Star Wars is I guess somewhat realistic. Like, it's something we can attain to, but you can't really aspire towards magic.
No, that's quite right. Exactly right.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the show, Jonathan, and may the force be with you.
Yeah, may the force be with you too, always.